Good morning, brothers and sisters, and Sunday school scholars. Now, there's not too many Sunday school scholars out there. I think there's five that qualify, but there's still going to be some questions. I was going to do a little bit more, but I needed more than five people to do it. So there'll be some questions that I'll ask the Sunday school, and hopefully you can give me some good answers. So I'm talking about lying, something that right from the very beginning we learn, lying is bad. But what about just a little white lie? Nobody's going to get hurt from a white lie. Bo, what do you think? If I tell a little white lie, do you think that's okay? No, even if nobody gets hurt from it? Still not a good idea? All right, good job. So, what makes a lie? What makes something a lie? James, what makes something a lie? Yeah, untruths. And there are several different kinds of lies, and we'll get into talking about some of the different lies. Is there ever a good time to lie? Ethan, is there ever a good time to tell a lie?
No.
No? Not even if you're going to get in big trouble, you maybe tell a little lie, you can get out of it? Yeah? Nope. Yep. It may seem like a good thing at the time, but you never want to tell a lie. It'll always come back. How about lies? Are all lies the same?
No.
Why do you say no, Macy? Yeah, can you give me an example of a type of a lie?
Like, if you smoked a cigarette and didn't tell your mom, then that would be a lie.
Yeah. Oh, can you think of a different lie, maybe?
Okay.
Rachel, how about you? Can you tell me a lie? I know it'll be the first time, but... Yep. So there's a lot of different kinds of lies, and we tell lies for different reasons. But we must trust in God and not in ourselves, that we are smart enough to tell a lie and be able to get away with it. We must trust in God that it will work out, and whatever our punishment may be, then we will accept that. We can maybe get away with a lie for a little bit, or maybe we can even get away with it altogether, but it might cause problems for other people. One place I worked at, there was a machine operator that had been running the same machine for quite some time. And then all of a sudden, his quantity started dropping on the amount of parts that he was making. We had to bring him into the office and talk to him about his problem of not meeting his quota of parts, and this was becoming a problem. They did some research and found out that he was actually making the number of parts that he needed to, but somebody else was stealing his parts and turning them in as their own. So they ended up firing the guy that was stealing the parts, and the other guy got to keep his job. But if they hadn't seen that guy taking the other guy's parts, the other person could have been fired. The wrong person could have been fired. And he had a family to take care of, and there was a lot more than just, the guy would have just said, hey, look, I had a bad day, I didn't make my quota. You know, it would have been fine. But the fact that he went and took somebody else's parts and tried to cover it up, he ended up losing his job. So why is lying so bad? We think that we are smart enough that we can get out of something that maybe we shouldn't have been doing, or because we want people to think more about us. As we had in our first talk about pride, we want to build ourselves up so we might tell some great story that we never really did, but we want people to think that we did. But I think we tell more lies than we realize. I'm a big fan of telling the truth. If you lie to me, that's a huge thing. I can't trust you anymore. I try and instill that with my students. But there's a lot of things that we kind of justify, and we might not even realize that we're bending the truth, maybe not quite a lie, but we're getting into that. If we're not telling the truth, then we're telling a lie. So some ways that we might deceive ourselves without even really even thinking about it. Saying, I'm just going to watch one more TV show, then I'm going to go to bed. Then 3 hours later, we're still sitting there thinking, maybe just one more. That snooze button that we're just going to hit one more time, just 5 more minutes of sleep, and then I'm going to be up. But it's been the 8th time that we've hit that snooze button. Just one more dessert as we load our plates up again. I know nobody's done that this weekend. We say that we're going to be there at 8 o'clock, and we show up there at 8:15. We always have a good excuse of why we couldn't make it there on time. It's never my fault that we're late. So what lies are told in the Bible? You guys think of any stories of lies that were told in the Bible? Rachel? Adam and Eve, what lie was told there? Yep. Yeah, that was a good one. James? Jacob and Esau, what lie was told there? Yeah, good. Macy? Oh, okay, good. Any other ones? No? There is a, oh, yep. Cain and Abel, yep, another good one. You remember one with Solomon and the two women and the baby? Remember the two women both said it was their baby, right? One of the women was clearly lying. And then, you know, maybe Mephibosheth and his servant, when they were telling David, you know, why he didn't come out to see him. Were the servant that left, or was it, you know, we don't really know. There's a lot of things. We're going to go through and look at some of these lies. Proverbs 12, verse 19, we read, "The lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment." So when we meet somebody that we've never known, never seen before, you give them a certain amount of trust. They might say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." We assume that their name is that. And over time, we build trust with them, or they build trust with us. Or if we find out that they've completely given us the wrong name or they're doing different things in there, then we don't trust them as much. If we have somebody that keeps telling us that they got away with not doing their homework because they said they did, or they didn't do this because they said that they did and the teacher never went back and checked it, then you're going on vacation and you have a dog that needs to be fed, right? You think you're going to ask the guy that says that he does all the work but never does it to feed your dog when you're gone? Why wouldn't you send him to feed your dog? Yeah? Yeah, he says he's going to, but doesn't. So you can't trust people like that. Yeah, exactly. If there are consequences. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that would kill the dog too. So We're only going to trust people that we know are going to actually show up and feed the dog. And those are the people that we're going to ask to come in and feed the dog. Because if we don't have somebody that comes in and feeds the dog, like you said, the dog is going to end up dying. How about when we have to clean our rooms, right? Mom might tell you to go up there and clean your room, and you're digging through all the stuff that you've been putting the stuff on shelves, and then you find this really cool toy that you had. kind of forgot about it, and then you start messing around, playing with it, and you find another cool toy, and all of a sudden you've been playing for a while, and your mom shouts upstairs, "You still cleaning your room?" Yeah, you should say, "No, I've been playing, I got to get back on track." But what we tend to say is, yeah, I'm cleaning. And then mom stays out of our hair for another 10 minutes, and we keep playing and keep playing, and then she comes up and checks on us. And what do you think she sees? Still a mess, right? So we're not going to get away with these lies. Sometimes it just buys us a little more time to keep doing what we want to be doing, but eventually we're going to have to answer for what we're doing. Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, but they that deal truthfully are a delight. Abomination is something that causes God disgust or hatred. Do we want to be hated by God? No, that's something that we want to be a delight to God. So when we're saying truthful things, then we're a delight to God, and when we're telling lies, we're hated. So the next time that we're thinking about telling a little lie, even if it's a little white lie, we have to think that this is something that God hates. God loves and is merciful only to those that are truthful. When we do something wrong, if we confess it, if we say what we did wrong, then he will forgive us. If we tell lies and try and say, "Well, it wasn't my fault, it was him, he made me do it," then we're going to have to answer for that. If God hates us because we are living a life that is so wicked in his eyes, then we will have no hope of getting into the kingdom. Think, is the lie that I'm about to say worth not getting into the kingdom for? If we are truthful and tell the truth, then we are a delight or make God happy. If we took somebody's phone that was laying on a chair and we started messing around with it and we dropped it and the screen cracked, what do you think we should do? Yeah. What? Fix it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to leave it broken. But what if we don't know how to fix the screen? Yeah? Yeah, that would be a good thing. What were you going to say, Bo? Same thing? Yeah, that's a good answer. How about you, James? Yeah? What if we dumped it in the trash can as we're walking out? Nobody saw us messing around with it, right? Nobody would know. The person might just think they lost the phone. All right. Or we could stick it underneath somebody else's chair, and they would think maybe that person was messing around with it.
You can buy a different phone.
Yeah, you can go buy a different phone, right? Yeah. So is one of the lies better than the other? If I go and tell them and say, "Hey, I found this phone broken on the floor," or if I just throw it in the trash and don't even tell them, is one better than the other, or are they all just the same? Yeah, they're both bad, but they're different kinds of lies, right? So there are a lot of different kinds of lies. There's the bold-faced lie, something that everybody knows isn't true. If I come out with powdered donut all over my face and I say, "No, I didn't have any donuts," you gonna believe me? No, the evidence is right on my face, right? But there are people that will try and do that. How about bluffing? We're playing a game or something like that, and we might try to make them think that we have other cards than we really have, or we're going to win more quickly than they think, so we're hoping that they'll make a mistake. All right, bluffing, is that really a lie? How about a polite lie? Women like to make men lie. They always say, "How do I look in this?" Right? What are we supposed to say? So I know this guy, and I'm not going to say his name to protect me, but my wife, when she was trying on maternity clothes, came out in this purple dress. And she said, "How do I look?" She looked good, but of course what I say is, reminds me of Barney. Now, not the smartest thing to say. But if we're truthful, and if that person is really wants to know how they look, then we should have the relationship that we can tell them how they look, and not to lie to them. And if you don't want to know the truth, then don't ask the question. How about temporary lies? Maybe we're having a surprise birthday party for somebody, and they say, "Oh, what are you doing this afternoon?" We can't sell them. "Oh, I'm going to your birthday party." You know, what are we supposed to do? Maybe we're just trying to not get caught from something. Just trying to buy some more time. Or lies of omission. Omission means you don't tell everything. You just kind of leave a couple things out. Maybe we're going to be doing something, but we did something bad in the middle, but we just kind of leave that out and skip over that part. Maybe we might repeat a story and add a little bit more information into the story that might not be true, but we don't really know. But the story sure sounds a lot better if I do that. Or exaggerate, overstate things. I might say that I was working out in the gym this morning and I banged out about 3,000 push-ups, you know, no big deal. You know, there's sometimes exaggerations that get so big that you know they're clearly not true. Yep, people still do it. Perjury is lying under oath when you're before a judge or something like that. You're supposed to tell the truth when you're standing before the judge, yet people will still, at that point, try and lie. Or sarcasm or a tall tale, using untruth to express the truth. You might say something is so crazy just to kind of bring out the point. Or if we're trying to sell something, we might advertise something that the product really isn't. And then there are lies that are just lies meant to hurt people. Nothing good comes of them other than just putting people down. So we're going to look at these lies in the scriptures. And some of the ones are the ones that you guys brought out. So a bold-faced lie was one of the ones that came out with Jacob and Esau. Jacob wasn't Esau, right? His father asked him, "Who are you?" Right? What did he say? Esau. Yeah, Jacob said he was Esau. And did the father believe him right away? Did Isaac believe him?
No.
Yeah, why didn't he believe him?
Because he recognized his voice.
Yeah, he recognized his voice. And how did Jacob convince him that he was really him?
He put goat fur.
Yep. Yep, good. So he clearly was saying something that he knew wasn't true. He was trying to trick his father. Jacob lied to Isaac so he could get the blessing that he knew God would give him. Yet he and his mother took actions into their own hands, and they didn't see any other way. God told us that Isaac was supposed to give the promise to Jacob, and yet here he is going off and doing the wrong thing. So what other choice do we have? We've got to go in there and commit this lie in order for God's plan to work out. Makes sense, doesn't it, James? We want God's lie to work. God's plan to work out. It doesn't matter if we have to tell a lie, right? We have to trust that God's plan is going to work out. We're not smarter than God, and we have to realize that. So they took actions into their own plan, and it worked out. But they didn't put their trust in God. And Jacob would not see his mother again, as he had to run away, and she died before he made it back. There was another story of a bull-faced lie with Rachel and Leah. Anybody remember that lie? Yeah.
His uncle, he said that he wanted to who he wanted.
Yep.
And then his uncle said, yes, you can have it.
Yep, yep, that's exactly right. He loved the younger daughter, and he said, yep, worked 7 years for me, and you can have her. And then, lo and behold, when he wakes up the next morning, it's not the right wife. And he says, well, you can work another 7 years. So Laban told a lie. He knew that he was not going to give his younger daughter away the first time. Yet he wanted Jacob to stay there and work there. So he committed the lie. Jacob worked for the 7 years and then worked again another seven for Rachel. So Laban got a few more years out of Jacob working for him, but eventually he would lose both of his daughters to Jacob. How about bluffing? This is another thing that was brought out in last night's talk about in relationships and marriages. We think about Samson and his wife and the riddle that he told. His wife needed to know, find that answer because her family was in danger. But yet, instead of trusting in her husband and telling him the problems that she was going through, she lied to him. We read this in Judges 14, verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, dost thou hate me and lovest me not, that thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and thou hast not told it to me? And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him 7 days while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore on him, and she told the riddle to the children of our people. This is a very dangerous thing to do in a relationship. If you are trying to guilt the other person into doing something for you, and you say, if you don't do this, it's because you don't love me. Now, if all we did was lay around and we didn't do what we were supposed to do in our marriage, then that's a conversation that you should have and say what the expectations are of the relationship. But nagging and manipulating, trying to get the other person to do what you want them to do because if they don't, they clearly don't love you, is a serious thing. And this is why God hates lying so much. If we are not showing our love to God, but saying to God, if you really love me, if you really cared about me, you wouldn't be making me go through this trial or having these troubles. Do you think God loves us? Yeah. Do we have to go through hard times? Yeah. Things don't. So how can God love us and have us go through the hard times?
Because he made us.
Yeah. How about your parents? Do they sometimes give you a little spanking if you're misbehaving?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Do you think they like to do that?
No.
No. So why do they do it? Yeah. You got to learn that what we're doing isn't right. Yep.
And God can help you
through that.
What's that? God can help you
through that. Yep. God can help us get through our trials. We just have to trust in Him. But we can't try to manipulate God and say if God really loved us, if there was a God, He would make this go away or do this or do that. We have to pray, we have to trust in God and our brothers and sisters and try to get us through it. But there's a reason why we're going through it. We don't always know what it is. Zechariah 8:16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. How about a polite lie? Somebody says, oh, how do I look in this dress? If I said, oh, yeah, you look great. Is that a good thing to do?
Yes.
Yeah. Good answer. No. No, that doesn't take much. You don't want to be impolite. You don't want to say hurtful things, but we can't lie. If something doesn't look right, maybe they have a tag sticking out, or maybe, you know, we have to try and and try and always tell the truth. And the reason why is we can, when we're telling people lies, we might cause them to like us more. And maybe that's why we're telling lies. And it might not seem that big of a deal, but there was one of David's sons, Absalom. We're going to read in 2 Samuel 15. And Absalom rose up early, and he stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment. And Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is one of the tribe of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matter are good and right, but there is no man to dispute of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, "Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And he said, and it was so that when the man came nigh to him to do obedience, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel. It came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel. So when people would have problems, they would come to the king, and he would stand there and listen to their story and say, "Man, you know, if I was king, if I was in charge here, I would judge for you. You're clearly in the right." And people would maybe go into the king, and the king would tell them that they were wrong. Who do you think they would like better, the guy that said they were right or the guy that said they were wrong? Yeah, it doesn't really matter who's right or wrong. You just want the person that makes us feel good. And Absalom was able to overthrow the kingdom for a short time because he told these lies. They just seemed like they weren't going to hurt anybody. They were just making these people feel better. Am I going to tell them that something's wrong or they did bad? No, he wanted to make them feel good. Proverbs 17, verse 7, "Except thy speech become not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince." So a prince, if is telling lies, then he's not much of a prince. The people that are ruling need to be able to be trusted. We probably heard the saying, if we don't have anything nice to say, then we shouldn't say anything at all. That's a much better thing to do than to try and manipulate or tell a lie. Psalms 120, verse 2, "Deliver thy soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from the deceitful tongue." When we hear things that we want to hear that can lead us down the wrong path. The truth is not always easy to hear, but if people love us, then they will tell us the truth in a nice way rather than a lie that is nice but not truthful. The lie will maybe cause us to continue doing something wrong because they weren't truthful to tell us what we were doing wrong. This is why in Matthew 18 that we are told to go and talk to that person one-on-one. It's not easy. It's not fun to do. If you guys have a problem with each other, the best thing to do is go and talk to the person and say, "Hey, when you did this or that, it really hurt me, or it didn't make me feel good when you did this." That's the best way to solve a problem. There's temporary lies. See, in 1 Samuel 19, Saul sent messages to David's house to watch him and say unto him in the morning. And Michael's, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, and tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michael let David down through the window, and he fled and escaped. So remember when David was working for Saul, Saul tried to kill him those couple of times, and he comes and surrounds the house, and he wants to kill David, and David's wife says, "You got to get out of here." So his wife, Michael, took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for the bolster and covered it with cloth. So she made like a body in a bed and kind of covered it up with blankets so it looked like he was still in the bed. When Saul's messengers came to take David, she said, "He's sick." Saul's messengers went again to see David, saying, "Bring him unto me in the bed that I may slay him." So Saul said, "I don't care if he's in the bed or not. Bring me the bed. I'm going to kill him." And the messengers were come in. Behold, there was an image in the bed and a pillow of goat hair for a bolster. So Saul brings in his daughter, and he talks to Michael. Saul says, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he would escape?" So Michael loves her husband, loves David. She knows her father's trying to kill him. She creates a little lie, tells everybody that he's sick, lets David down over the wall. He flees away. She's buying him a little bit of time. She gets caught in her lie. And then what does she do? And Michael answered Saul. He said unto me, "Let me go. Why should I kill thee?" So she has to tell another lie to cover up her first lie. "I didn't want to lie to you, Dad, but he was going to kill me. I had no option of what I could do." This is where a temporary lie that she knew her father was going to find out that David wasn't in that bed. It was just a matter of time. And then when she got found out in that lie, she had to tell another lie. And the result was that David got away, but she would never love him again. And she ended up hating him. So, you know, maybe if she would have trusted in God a little bit more and been truthful, they could have had a better marriage. Lying to avoid punishment. Anybody know what Peter did? A lie that Peter told? He told it 3 times before the rooster crowed. Right? He was going to deny Christ. He said he didn't know Christ. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words, and how that he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We see the contrast of the last two lies, the two examples I've showed you. He knew that he had lied. Seeing Christ at the judgment seat on trial for his life, and yet Peter turned his back on Christ. Peter would make up for this as he mourned his mistake. He didn't go out and tell another lie. "I wasn't really talking about you. I thought they were talking about somebody else." He didn't make excuses. He knew he was caught, and he repented. What about playing dumb? Is that really telling a lie? Somebody asks us a question, "Oh, did you see that?" "Oh, I didn't see that. I don't really know what was going on." And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain knew where he was. He probably spent a considerable amount of time trying to find a good place to bury him, to hide the body so nobody would find him. But he played stupid, saying that he did not know where he was. Lies of omission with Ananias and Sapphira. These were two people that sold things, and they went and they said, he's asked, "Is this how much money you sold it for?" And they said, "Yep." And what happened when they got done telling the lie? Do you remember, James? They got done telling the lie. He fell down dead. And then his wife came in and told the same lie again. And he says, "Aren't the feet of the people that just took your husband out, now they're coming back?" And she fell down dead. If the result was like that today, as soon as we told a lie, immediately that person dropped dead, I'm sure there would be a lot less people lying. At least we wouldn't have repeat offenders. But that's not the result. we seem to think that we got away with this. Maybe I can try it again. Maybe a little bit bigger lie. Maybe I can get away with a little bit more. But we're not getting away with it. Leaving things out of the story is a lie. If we say we're going to the library to study, and then we go to the library, open up the first book, read the first sentence or two, shut the book, then run out of the library and go hang out with our friends. Then when we get home and our mother said, "What did we do?" And we say, "Oh yeah, we spent time at the library studying." No, that's not the truth. We're not being truthful. We would be truthful if we said, "Yeah, we spent maybe 5 minutes at the library and then we went out and hung out with our friends." But we tend to leave things out. And that's, again, it's not really a lie. I was at the library. I did do a little reading. But we're not being truthful. Telling stories and repeating things, information that we're not sure is things that we can do. Perjury. Think of Naboth's field. In 1 Kings 21, verse 8, we read, "And Ahab was a king." Do you guys remember this story? Naboth's field. The king had, king looked out his window and there was a field there. And he wanted that field. And he went and asked the guy and he said, "No, it's been in my family. I'm not selling the field." So he was mad. He went home, went in his room, slammed his door, sat on his bed. His wife came in and said, "You're the king. You can have whatever you want." So she wrote a letter to some other people and she said, go before a judge and tell the judge that this guy was saying all these bad things and doing these bad things and he really needs to be killed. So they called Naboth. He was the guy that owned the field, up before the judge, and these people got up and lied, said all the bad things that he didn't do, and then they killed him. And then he went to the wife of the queen, went to the king and said, "Oh, he's dead. The field's all yours." And then he goes and down to look at the field. And God sends a prophet down there. And he says, "And thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed also and also taken a possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth," that was the person whose field it was, "shall the dogs lick the blood, even thy blood." And Ahab said to Elijah, "Hast thou found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to the work, to work evil in the sight of the Lord." So who told the lie in that story? Did the king really tell a lie? The queen and the other people. The king really didn't tell any lie. It's just the way it happened, right? But who was punished? Who did the prophet punish?
The king.
The king was going to die in that field. So why is that? The king technically didn't tell a lie, huh? He got shot in a war, and they were taking him home, and that's where he died, and they cleaned out his chariot and all the blood there. Yep. Yeah. So even though we might not be the one actually saying the lie, if we're participating in it or taking advantage from it, then we're part of it. We can't just say, "Well, they're telling the lie. I'm going to let them go tell the lie and say, we're going to go down to the tennis courts when really we're going to go way down somewhere else, down to the waterway where my parents don't want me to go. But I'm not going to say where I'm going to go. I'm going to let them go tell, and then I'm just going to do it. I didn't tell a lie."
Maybe they're saying it for yourself.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's what it is most of the time. And God, just like our parents, is watching over us. And it might... He's putting us in situations that he wants us to learn from. So we have, even though technically we might not be telling a lie, we can be participating in the lie, and we'll be judged for it. advertising a product that wasn't true, and that was one of the ones brought out with the serpent in the garden. You know, "In the day that thou," the serpent said unto the woman, "ye shall not surely die." But we know that when she partook of it that same day, she took dying nature. She became dying nature. Lying has been a temptation for man in every generation, starting from the first one all the way to the last one. And then finally, hurtful lies. Lies that are just meant to hurt people. We think of Mordecai and Nehemiah, that they told lies just to kind of manipulate them or to discredit them. Others feel better about themselves by putting people down. And this, again, is a very dangerous thing to do, as it is completely the opposite thing that God is looking for in his servants. Matthew 18, verse 6, we read, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believeth in me, it were better for him to have a millstone cast around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." Do you guys know what a millstone is? A millstone is a huge, real big stone. And he's saying it would be better for that person that they tied a chain around his neck onto this big rock and they throw it in the middle of the river and they sinks to the bottom than to go out and offend a little person. That's how serious it is. What are our likelihoods of surviving if we are tied to a big rock and it's dropped in the middle of the lake out there? Zero, right? We can't swim and carry a huge rock. We're not gonna make it. And it's the same thing with getting into the kingdom. If we're telling lies to hurt people, then we're not gonna make it. Yep. Yeah. Go down the drain. Yeah. So Isaiah 9:17. "Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on the fatherless and widow. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." In Proverbs 10, verse 18, "And he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool." So if you lie to make somebody like you, that's bad. Or if you're saying bad things about somebody, then you're the fool. Lying is usually the sin, the start of a sin, whether it is something that we are lying to set up our sin, or we are lying to ourselves to justify why we are about to do it. To the children, as you grow up, you must learn not to lie. This is extremely important if we want to be a servant of God. And to the brothers and sisters, if we proclaim to be servants of Christ and lie, we better be like Peter and show extreme remorse for our lie if we want to be considered a servant of Christ.